I got annoyed at my gear the time that I met you because you already had so much advanced gear. And then I was there with my camera. We were both shooting the same stuff together and it was working so much better for you.
This is the Beneath the Surface podcast. We are your hosts, Michelle and Julius, and we are here to help you unlock your true potential. Learn from our failures and successes and start understanding what it takes to grow a successful business around your passions.
We are a creative couple originally from different countries who are both able to build online businesses by doing what we love: photography, online marketing, and travel.
Let's dive beneath the surface, become better versions of ourselves, and find success in life. Before this episode begins, remember that there is a video version of this podcast available on YouTube. So head to our YouTube channel, Beneath the Surface Podcast, to watch the video version.
Welcome to another episode of the Beneath the Surface Podcast. Today we're going to talk about if gear actually matters. And nowadays we have gathered a lot of different gear that we use regularly, but it has not always been like that. We started from somewhere, we started at zero. And I think the answer is yes and no.
Yeah, so definitely gear does matter to a certain extent, but we want to both share a bit of our stories with gear, because even now, if you look at these video clips on YouTube of the podcast, you can see that we have a lot of gear. We both have really fancy setups, we have fancy microphones, we have fancy cameras, and everything is sort of the best. And it definitely hasn't been like this since the beginning. So I first want to share a bit of my story with gear. So I started with a camera that my grandpa gave to my dad, and my dad didn't really use it that often. So just one time in the evening, I decided to take the camera and go take some images with it. And it was the most ridiculously, how do you say it? No. And it was the worst camera that I've ever used. But at the time, I came from a smartphone. So an actual camera was like pretty good, to my knowledge. So I went outside and was stunned about the quality and like about all the different possibilities that I can do with the camera. And I was completely happy with that camera. And I ended up shooting with that camera for like over 1.5 years because I didn't have money to buy anything. I also didn't have a computer. I didn't have a laptop. So I used my brother's PC. So I literally started from pretty much almost nothing. The camera that I used in the beginning was like maybe 200-300 euros. And I didn't at the time even have money to like afford something like that. So I was lucky to be able to get access to a camera without actually having to buy one myself. So for me, sort of the interest for photography started from having access to some sort of a camera. And that's sort of how it started for me. And now fast forward 5 years, there's literally like a dream in front of me gear wise. And only thing that it has done for me is just ridiculously improve the speed of how I can get things done.
Yeah, and I think that's the most important thing about gear. But to come back to what you said earlier, if you don't know better, if you haven't worked with something better, you don't really realize that at this point, it's not really that good, the gear. I also started with a camera that I bought, but I didn't really know much about cameras, and I didn't really know if that's a good one. And well, it was quite an advanced one already, but it has had a lot of mancos. It had a lot of issues that sort of destroyed my workflow over the time. But back then when I got the camera, I was super excited about it because it was my first real camera. I saved up for it. I worked for it. And yeah, I just got into photography, so that was a complete game changer. But over the years, when I learned more about what I want to shoot, how I want to shoot, there were just so many problems occurring on the way. And then it led to me even getting frustrated at photography every now and then.
Yeah, I think it takes a bit of time. Do you remember what camera this was?
Nikon D7200.
Yeah. Which is a pretty good beginner camera.
Yeah,
right? It's
definitely.
Like, even now with the skills, of course, now you would be able to photograph with that camera better than you could when you got it.
Yeah.
So we also have to take in consideration with gear the fact that you can buy a really bad camera or like beginner camera and get really good shots if you're actually a good photographer. But if you, let's say you get the absolute best of the best and you never touch the camera, you most likely won't be able to get as good images as someone whose experience could get with a beginner camera.
Mm.
So there's also that difference there. But I think Hangul grows when you start to realize like what is possible. Like I remember my biggest limitation was that I couldn't shoot during night. I actually have a funny story about this because the camera that I had at the time was PowerShot SX50HS, something like that. Super weird. It had like 1,000mm digital zoom.
Those type of cameras.
Yeah, you couldn't change the lens. It was just that
integrated
lens that came integrated into it, and you could like increase the zoom from the shutter sort of ring or whatever. And when you held it, then the zoom came out and it zoomed so far away and it had a stabilizer and everything. So it was pretty like interesting to shoot stuff like further away, but it was like 8 megapixels or something like that.
Mm.
And the biggest issue with this camera was that I couldn't shoot during the night. So I went on Google and or on YouTube and I tried to like search like how to shoot during night with this camera. And I found out that there's a hack to override the settings of the camera. So I had to install some sort of a hack on the memory card that installed or overrid the limitations on that camera, and I could set whatever settings, because the issue was if I set the shutter longer than 1 second, the ISO automatically went down to 80. And for night photography, you need higher ISO, like at least like 3200 or something like that, in order to like get a bit more light into the image. But this wasn't possible for the camera that I had. So I installed that hack and overrid the settings, and the images at the time I thought they were really cool. But now that I look at them, they're full of color noise. You can't see anything out of them. Like every pixel looks like a star on the sky. And like if you zoom in, you can't even know what's going on there. It's just like so disgusting, the quality. But at the time I didn't know any better.
Yeah,
so.
I think the more you learn and the more you test out better gear, the more you realize that the gear that you currently have isn't enough for you.
In the beginning, the beginner stuff is enough. But let's say you already have photographed for half a year, you know a bit more about editing, and you realize like more possibilities, then you're like, oh, this takes forever to edit on my computer, or I wish I could get a bit more detail into these night shots, or that like the autofocus is just too slow, or the quality is too mushy, or whatever. And once you realize these things, that's when the dreaming starts. And that's where the gear nerd comes in to people who actually like care about that. I was so frustrated about the fact how long it took me to do certain things, or that like I couldn't really photograph certain things that I wanted to photograph just because of the limitations. I wanted to take images of animals. I wanted to take night images. I couldn't do neither one of those. Immediately, if I went out with my 8-megapixel camera, even though it had a long zoom, it was just mush. Everything was just so such bad quality. And then when I finally met some photographer friends and saw their fancy cameras and their like high-end professional cameras, like I looked at their images compared to mine that I took from the exact same spot, and I was like, I need to get a better camera at some point.
I was about to say, I think I got annoyed at my gear the time that I met you because you already had so much advanced gear, and then I was there with my camera. We were both shooting the same stuff together and it was working so much better for you, and like also how the images looked. It was a difference from night and day. And I think at some point we only shot with your camera. Like you shot your stuff and then I took your camera and
used
it to take images.
True.
Just because, I don't know, the results were so much better.
I'm not sure if it has happened to everyone, but I feel like it happens to every photographer when they start out with the bad camera, that like at some point you want to improve and like increase the quality of your work.
Yeah.
And for me, I lost, as for you as well, you lost your passion for a while for photography because you were so limited.
Mm.
I didn't feel at some point anymore to go out to shoot because I was so limited.
And I think that's when the problem comes in, because in general, I would say gear doesn't matter in order to get good results. If you want to shoot something, you don't need the best camera, because even if you have the best camera, the images can look bad. So that doesn't really determine how your images turn out, but to a certain extent it does. And I think the most relevant thing here is that bad gear slows down your workflow a lot, and you can be way more productive with better gear.
Yeah, and also better gear can motivate you more to actually create. I remember, well, my brother's PC at the time was really fast, so I didn't really have the issue of speed, but I had the limitation of time. I only had time to edit when my brother wasn't on the computer, and my brother spent a lot of time on the computer, so my limitation was that I simply didn't have a lot of time. And another limitation was money. I didn't have any money. And the first money I made, I then started buying a bit of gear. But I couldn't afford, even then, the best of the best gear that I actually dreamed of. So I had to buy something in between. And then over time, hunger grew more, and I realized that now this is not enough for what I want to do. And then the cycle sort of has continued up until this day, when I've actually been able to fulfill the gear dreams that I've had, of just getting whatever I want, which is literally, I feel like a little child in this room.
Yeah, that's true.
And still, I have to say that the biggest limitation now is motivation. The biggest limitation now is not the gear. It's actually the feeling of like, I don't feel creative, or I don't like really feel like today I could create something or work on something. Although I have all the gear in the world, still, the brain is the limitation after that.
Yeah, well, that has nothing to do with the gear at this point anymore.
No, but this is sort of the limitation that then comes after the gear. So even when you have the best gear, you will have issues all the time with something.
But that's human, that like people are feeling demotivated every now and then or not creative. But it speeds up your workflow so much. You can just work on whatever you want, and it basically works immediately. With Cinema 4D, sometimes it takes a little while, but if I remember back to when I only used my laptop for editing in Photoshop, I already had a lot of issues every now and then. First off, two screens were a game changer, but also the speed with everything. I feel like I was editing, and then every now and then I was like on my phone just waiting for it to finish loading. And everything just took so much longer.
This is my imitation of Michelle when she was editing on her laptop. You're sitting on the sofa like this, clicking on something, and the laptop went. Phone in the hand, swipe, swipe. 5 minutes goes by, nothing happened. This was the worst laptop I've ever seen, and it wasn't even that slow.
No, it wasn't that bad. But it's a good laptop, and it's pretty. Like, when I bought it, I wanted to have something that I can travel with. Yours is like huge, and I don't know how many kilos.
I mean, 15-inch, it's not really that big, but
yeah, but it's way more bulky than mine. Mine is very sleek and very thin, and I wanted to have sort of the best quality possible for the most compact size.
Yeah, the issue for you was that you had a hard drive on the computer that was like 80 gigabytes that filled up immediately, so it was completely on red all the time, and when your computer's hard drives are full, it can't really calculate anything anymore. Like, it just doesn't work. And it was an SSD as well, and you should always like keep a bit of room for the SSD at the end. So this was most likely why it slowed down so much, because the specs on the laptop weren't that bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember buying like an Asus ZenBook or something like that. And it was a good laptop, but compared to the PC that I currently have, this is probably like 10 times faster than the laptop, even more most likely. And now in 3D, again, 3D is like the absolute sort of gear stealer, so to say. It's crazy how much power it requires to be able to like see what you're doing live. I have the second best consumer level graphics card on my PC, and I have like really, really good specs on this, and still Cinema 4D sometimes just does not cooperate. And same is with Premiere. And Premiere is just poorly optimized, and a lot of the Adobe softwares are poorly optimized. But I still have some issues with Premiere with 4K footage. Not so much recently anymore. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like it changes, although it shouldn't. But yeah, Premiere and Cinema 4D have always so far been like sort of problematic for me. And I've tried DaVinci Resolve, and that has been completely fine when editing footage. But Premiere somehow just, ugh, I hate that software program.
And I think yesterday I read a tweet about someone, an artist saying, I don't know, something along the lines that he wished he would have a PC because then he could edit more complex scenes in Cinema 4D or Blender. And I was like, what? You can even edit anything on your laptop? Like, I can't imagine that this program works on a laptop.
There's a lot. I was surprised as well. There's
so
many.
Must be so patient for it.
There's so many artists there who create 3D on a laptop. And a 3D artworks on their laptop. And I did a 3D stream, a 6-hour stream in total about 3D. And most of the comments on the chat were like, how is the live preview of your renderer so fast? Like, how can you see everything real time? They were saying like, with my laptop, I make a change and then I have to wait 5 seconds to see what happens. And this is just something that I remember going through, but I definitely do not want to go back to that inefficiency and having to wait in between.
Yeah.
And we have both been there and it's not pleasant.
Yeah. So I think once your knowledge grows, but also once you try out better things, there's no way back.
Yeah, no. But this can also be sort of a negative thing with the gear, because I have noticed that I keep buying more and more gear all the time.
Yeah.
and this does not always result in me creating more. This actually sometimes is like, okay, now I have it and I can use it. But there are times when I don't take advantage of it as much as I sort of should. And also it can lead to just buying unnecessary stuff. I could buy the halfway stuff that is... Even this stream deck that I now have here on my table, I just bought this. And I could have bought the midway version, which is half less expensive, has less buttons, and I can do pretty much the exact same stuff with it for my use. But I wanted the best, so I got the best. And this is just something that I've sort of am battling with, because I have those really annoying experiences with not having the best stuff. And when I finally had the possibility to get the best, I hardly ever go and think in my brain that, hey, now I'm going to save 100 euros to get the sort of less good one.
Yeah, I mean, if you can afford it, I think it's good, because it's a long-term investment. You buy it and it will last long. It will be very practical and everything.
Yeah, and for this podcast, we have 50 euro lights. I could have bought more expensive lights, but like sometimes I then think a bit more smart. I'm like, okay, I do a bit of modding. I had to even install like some sort of framing around these soft boxes that I bought from Amazon for like 5 euros. And I checked some more expensive lights, which were like crazy, thousand euros per piece. And I could have never first of fit them here. So I do make decisions sometimes if it's like super expensive, because I don't think our lighting would be that much better with 1,000 euro lights versus 50 euro lights. But then microphones again are completely different thing. We had two snowballs. Blue snowballs are like the most commonly used microphones, I feel like. And we had those. But now when I listen to some clips that I recorded with the blue snowball versus this microphone, I would never go back to that.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It sort of goes back and forth. With some gear, I don't feel like I need to upgrade. But then with some gear, I just want the best immediately.
So I think you should definitely go through that process of starting slow and then upgrading over time. Because if you don't really know anything about the topic that you want to invest in yet and already get the best of the best, you don't really know how to use it or if you're gonna use it, because like maybe you're not even that interested in it after all. So I think it's good to start slow and then upgrade over time.
100,000,000% yes, because what happens to a lot of people is that they think that when they have the better camera they will be more motivated to shoot, but it could be that you're not even that passionate about photography, for example, yet that you should invest a lot.
Exactly.
I was able to progress with my bad camera a lot, but I knew that I love photography. I knew that this is something that I want to continue doing. And it sort of just continued on growing and growing the interest. And nowadays, it just got into a whole new level where my brain is overwhelmed with the amount of gear that there is on the market. And I'm constantly checking, constantly studying about the newest things that come out. And before I make a decision, I usually do like a lot of research as well. And my recent upgrade was from the 5D Mark IV that we're now filming this podcast with to the Canon R5. And it has been an insane upgrade for me.
Yeah, it's a crazy camera.
Yesterday, I took an image of the moon. I also got the 100 to 500 millimeter RF lens. And I took a handheld shot of the moon yesterday. Just wanted to try it out because the moon was really bright outside. And it's so crisp. Mm. It's so much crisper than anything that I could have shot with my older gear. And it's up there, the lens now, but my old lens was a Tamron 100 to 400. And that's already a pretty good lens, but compared to the 100 to 500, it's like a night and day difference. These are sort of the things that I then, as a professional photographer, want to keep upgrading. Every time there is something new and better coming out, I wouldn't say I buy it immediately, but when I actually see and realize the differences between these and how much it can improve my work, then I usually go for it.
Yeah. So I think to sum it up, we would say that no, you don't really need the best gear in the beginning, but yes, gear definitely matters if you continue in this field, if you progress, if you become better, because otherwise it can at some point be a limitation if you have just like the very gear from the beginning.
Yeah, and also not only limits in terms of speed, also in terms of the stuff you can create, also your motivation, everything. If you are invested in this industry and you want to keep working on this industry and you actually like this is your passion, I definitely recommend everyone to at some point start upgrading your gear. That's I wouldn't say that the first money you make, you should immediately get the gear that you like sort of had dreamed of. Because I did the mistake myself that I started buying a lot of gear without actually knowing that much about gear. So I ended up buying expensive stuff that then turned out not to be that good for my purposes.
Mm.
So I still have a GH5, a camera that I used for 2.5 months. And then I haven't really used it after that because I realized the limitations for my usage. Yeah, definitely when you get better and when you have the money, study about the gear really, really well and think of the sort of usage things that you need new gear for.
I also think that it's sort of depends and it's important if you're able to monetize what you invest in because...
Yeah, that we didn't talk about.
Because... if we now, for example, we have really good computers and time is sort of money. And if they allow us to get things done quicker, we save so much money and time.
Exactly. Because I don't think I would have ever invested thousands and tens of thousands of euros into gear if I wouldn't be able to make some money with the stuff that I buy.
Yeah.
So this is also, there's hobbyists who make money from elsewhere and are able to afford gear. But if you don't have a job yet and you have like, let's say you have a couple thousand saved somewhere, like you shouldn't maybe pull the trigger and get the best of the best immediately because you need to sort of validate the purchase in some sort of way, in my opinion, at least.
Mm.
Like my cameras, they are not directly related to how I make my money, but they help me so much in creating stuff that I sort of, how do you say it in English? Like not directly make money with, but I can use the stuff in products and stuff that I sell to make money. So yeah, I would say that's a very, very valid point for Michelle that you should definitely sort of think if you can make money somehow with the purchase that you're about to make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then you sort of have a reason to invest into it.
But I think this episode is now done. There's not a lot of sort of things to talk about gear because it's simple as that.
Yeah.
You don't really need it in the beginning, but if you're really passionate, you should invest into better gear over time because it does speed up everything for you.
Exactly. And we would love to hear your experiences with the gear you currently have, if you're struggling, and also what you think about if gear is actually important, because I think a lot of people just say, no, gear doesn't matter. You can have the best camera and don't take good images, and the other way around. And yes, that's true, but there are like so many other things to take into equation.
Yeah. And like, if people say gear doesn't matter, that's just a straight up lie. It does matter to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And the points that we talked about, those are the things sort of to keep in mind. But yeah, we have started with nothing and we now have sort of the best gear. And yes, we are a million times more productive. We don't have to struggle with speed. We know if we start a program, we know that, okay, maybe with this thing, I need to wait a little bit, but most of the time everything runs super smoothly.
Mm.
And we know that skills are the main thing with photography. Even now I have the best camera sort of available for my usage, but I don't think I could take as good images as some of my friends can take with this camera. I'm just not as talented, and I'm still learning every day as a photographer. So when I have the best gear, it doesn't mean that that's when I get the best images. I'm still on a journey every single day, trying to take better images, trying to understand the camera and different angles and different focal lengths, blah, blah, blah. Like, this is an endless sort of journey of just learning more and more daily.
Yeah.
And you become better by taking more images, not by buying the best camera.
Exactly. That's a good sentence to close this episode.
So that wraps up this episode of the Beneath the Surface podcast. If you are watching this on YouTube, consider subscribing to the channel so you don't miss out on new episodes. We had, I think, a 2-week break now because Michelle was really, really busy. So we couldn't really film new episodes. But we have now filmed 3 different episodes and they're going to come out every week on Monday.
Exactly.
So 3 episodes are coming. So subscribe to the channel so you don't miss out from the new episodes. And thank you for listening.
And watching.
This is Beneath the Surface podcast. Bye.